Hey, if you suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
I'm going to make this fast because John has a tea time and Lance has more NFL work to do. Live from the Veritex Community Bank studios, it's The Trench.
Get in the trench.
You are right, Spencer. I do have a tea time today, as a matter of fact. Went up to Highland Pines. We'll play a little golf. Playing it with the guys. Now, if you say this, okay, Lance was playing that IHOP game with me earlier. You say this real fast, RJ. Jack Golf. No. Jack Golf. No. Okay. They got a... I'm going to tell you this. It's so funny. These guys just started up their own shirt company. And they got some unbelievably neat... I got a couple of shirts from them. And everybody's... Man, I love that shirt. I love that shirt. You got to go to their website and see this stuff that these guys got. And this is not a commercial for them or anything. I'm just telling you. There's a couple of listeners that, and they came out actually to Highland Pines when we were out there live. And one guy in the, Brandon, I think it was, gave me a hat. Anyway, you say this real fast. I'm going to play golf with the guys from Jack Golf. Jack Golf.
I'm going to play golf with the guys from Jack Golf.
What is it?
Jack Golf. Jack Golf.
You're going to... With Jack Golf.
You got to be careful.
You got to be real. Mr. IHOP, okay? Tried to get me earlier there, okay?
And I hate Joe.
I hate Joe.
I hate Joe. Why would you have me say that, Trevor?
You can't play her because she drops too many F-bombs on her kid. Mm-hmm. Juan is here. He's been waiting. He wants to talk about the coaches. And being able to talk, coaches being honest with NFL, NBA scouts. What's going on, Juan?
Hey, what's up, fellas? It reminded me on that conversation. Reminded me of when is it Steve Kerr who had said directly to the media that he lied. I think that was about an injury. So there's that. And then obviously my Steelers fan, the brutal honesty, or I don't know what level of honesty. Mike Tomlin is, but I respect him for his honesty. And so I think a lot of it would have a lot to do with your standards. So if you have low standards, your honesty is going to be called out. Or if you have high standards, you're going to be pretty brutally honest. So just your thoughts and great show, guys.
No, I think that's a great point, Juan.
Yeah.
I think it gets to the coach. Like, yeah, if you have high standards, like Jeff Van Gundy would be honest with another coach. For example, but he's not going to kill a guy in the media. Like in the media is not going to get what they want necessarily. He would protect his own players, and it's fine to protect your players to an extent. That's why off the record conversations were supposed to be off the record. Like they don't want leaks. Teams don't want leaks. Colleges don't want leaks. Pros don't want leaks. You know who's upset the most about leaks? The guys with the S2. The S2 guys are so pissed off that there's leaks came out on the scoring stuff.
Yeah.
Because now they're worried that, you know, teams are chewing them out because they're worried that, and it's not the, I know where the leaks were coming from on S2, by the way. I kind of found out. It's not from those guys. There are
teams trying to hurt guys.
No, it really wasn't that. It was just like, you know, they're just talking about, basically,
for those
just,
of you who don't know everyone, what the S2 okay, so the is S2 a is test.
Is a three-pronged recognition test that helps. It doesn't gauge intelligence. It engages. What it measures
reaction
is how
time.
Quickly you react to right. certain things and process certain right. information. And it's very important. Baseball, it's huge in baseball. Or huge LSU, huge users of S2, by the way. Their baseball team is huge users of S2.
And look what it produced.
Yeah, so is the football team. The football team was one of the first ones to use it in pro or college. But here's the thing. They want that information to stay private.
Yeah,
people are leaking it out there. And everyone always assumes that everything's done by teams to cause a guy to drop. what happens is somebody, like a media member, will have a friend who is, you know, in the league or whatever, and they'll ask, like, what about, you know, what about C.J. Stroud? I don't know. You know, just this is not for you to share at all, but, you know, they this S2 recognition test, have you ever heard that? You know, his numbers were a little lower, and we really, our ownership and our, you know, analytics side really buy into that, and we've got some questions or concern. It's not this, everyone assumes there's this thing in the background where everyone, it's a devious trick that's set up. Sometimes it's just a conversation, and that guy who's told, look, this is just for us, I don't want you to say this anywhere else, they end up saying it somewhere else. It's not always a plant. It's not always, you know, some type of inception or some type of conspiracy theory. It's just people who are supposed to be trusted with information are not trustworthy.
Yep.
It's just that simple. It's not meant to cause anyone to fall. C.J. Stroud had a lower S2 score. There were some teams who it bothered some teams. Guess what? He went second.
Yeah.
He went second. Now, are there some quarterbacks or some players who may not take the S2 now in the future? Maybe so. And that's why teams who thought S2 was a secret sauce that they had, they're really pissed. Because now there's going to be players
who avoid it. I would say this one
it.
Thing about Juan's statement, though. I don't think it's about integrity. I think that there are a lot of coaches, you might like a kid, and the kid may not be all that good or whatever it is you want. And in some instances, you don't want to give an honest opinion to the kid because you're going to hurt him in whatever draft.
You mean honest opinion about the kid?
Well, you don't. Yeah. So
you lie about a guy.
Well, it's not out of that's got nothing to do with integrity. It's got to do with you. In some instances, you want to help the kid and not hurt him.
I think it does. For me, integrity. If you intentionally are deceiving, that does get to integrity. Like if somebody asks you and their job's on the line, you know what I mean? Remember, whoever you're lying to, their job is on the line.
Yeah.
Well, because they are, and they're in the same business you are, and so their job is to try to get the best players.
Yeah, but you know the kid. The kid played for you. You like the kid. You want the kid to succeed.
You can say that. You can say, look, he's got limitations. If you think. Well, just be honest about it. If you say, look, he's got some limitations. Physically, he's not the fastest guy. He is a really good learner. You can always accentuate the positive while not accentuating the negative.
Yeah, right.
I think that's how you do it.
Yeah.
I don't – because those guys count on you for their jobs too, and that's why I have a hard time with, you know – now, head coaches a lot of times, they can say whatever they want, and they don't – and they just blow it off. Like, there's guys like who are the – like your guy Dorr at University of Houston, for example, Dana talks to a lot of people, but there's pro liaisons, and they're very important a lot of times for scouts and GMs to get the straight information on a player. Like, hey, we need to know who we're bringing into our building. If you got a bad guy and we bring him in here, it could tear our organization up, or we could get fired behind this.
Absolutely.
You know, we need to know if a guy's a bad guy. And I think most teams are pretty honest about bad guys. You know, you may pump up a player, but teams have their own evaluation, so that's not going to kill you. But if you omit information about a guy who's a character problem, that's a big no-no.
Absolutely.
In the draft.
All right, Daniel wants to get in here and talk about Jack Goff. What do you say, Daniel?
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good.
So I literally just turned on the radio and heard you talking about your tee time thing, and it made me just. It kind of brought me back. I wanted to let you know, as funny as your name there, Jack Goff, is, I legit knew a guy growing up whose name was Jack and his last name was Goff, G-O-F-F. So clearly when you run that together, it's got a certain way about it.
Yeah, clearly.
The worst part about this is that his middle name was Kenneth. And Kenneth, for short, would be Ken. So I'll let you run that together, and you can imagine what it was like for that guy to grow up.
That is.
I'll be honest. Did you really know somebody named that?
You what?
Did you really know someone named Jack?
You're lying.
No, swear on my life. I'm telling you,
Jack.
I knew the guy.
Ken.
We actually went to the same church. Yes.
Wow.
100%.
Did his parents do that to him on purpose? Is this
look? I don't know what was going on at the time of the naming, but there's plenty of speculation around the town and around friend groups of, you know, there was there was something a little more recreational going on when they decided to name him that.
I guess. Dan, you know what? They probably had a nice giggle. Let's name him Jack Ken Goff.
But then a kid has to live with that.
That is awful. Let's get Lamont in here quickly before break. Hey, Lamont.
Hey, what's the deal, Virgin?
What's going on?
Hey, man, big props out to Longhorn Scott bringing up Jack Luno. I wanted to ask you guys a question. Do you ever think in our lifetime there will be a point where the Astros will actually acknowledge, give Luno his flowers, man, for what he's done? You know, I know in this town everybody go goo-goo gaga over Daryl, the nerd Morey and stuff, and everybody's talking about this love you blue, kick the door in. Jeff Luno did all of that crap, man. He actually came here and he performed, and I don't think Jeff Luno gets his real appropriate flowers right now, man. And it kind of pisses me off, man, because I'm like, how can this guy be this good? And he doesn't have a job in the MLB. I would take Jeff Luno back right now in a heartbeat. That's all I have. I just want to know, do you ever think that Jim Crane in our lifetime will ever acknowledge him, put him in some kind of ring or whatever kind of crap that they have over there at Minute Maid? I want Luno to get his flowers. That's all I have, fellas.
Yeah, I think he has, honestly, Lamont. I think Jeff Luno has been given – don't you, John? I mean, Jeff Luno is considered the best general manager that's ever been in Houston. I think Daryl's probably second. You could go back to some Oiler days. There was back in the early 80s, the one who drafted all the offensive linemen. I'll think of him here in a second. He was pretty good.
The one who at the wedding?
Lad Herzig.
Yeah.
Lad Herzig. I think it was Lad Herzig who had all the offensive linemen he drafted. But don't you think Jeff Luno has gotten his flowers? I think Jeff Luno is.
I think we have, but I agree. I don't think that.
You don't think so?
Jim Crane. Well, here's the deal is under his watch, there was the biggest gaffe. There was the biggest controversy in maybe, certainly in recent baseball memory, but since the White Sox, since the Black Sox scandal. So I don't know that Jim Crane can, you know, it to this day, still, you never hear him talking about Luno and what Luno did. Luno was great, but you know what? I don't know that they're never going to put him in the Hall of Fame. Lamont, never going to put him in the Hall of Fame.
I mean,
yeah, not what happened under his watch. No, and whether he was to blame or not, he says he has. And he went to Major League Baseball with the proof that he didn't.
So much of this.
Yeah, absolutely. And listen, his greatness cannot be denied, but he will never be honored for it. Not at the Astros. No, never.
I think he's been given flowers by the fans, the media. Yes. I think we all understand that. I think Jim Crane has probably said great things about him when they won in 17 and other years as well. It's just for him. He just can't get past the fact that was a, you know, you frankly lose. I mean, it was an embarrassing moment that's going to stick with them for a long, long time. But that's a separate conversation from how good was he at his job. I mean, he was so good that the Cardinals were trying to break into the system. A guy went to prison trying to get into the system that the Astros had built after Luno left the Cardinals. So that's how good Jeff Luno was considered, even in the early stages. The Cardinals were trying to infiltrate the Astros system, and the guy went to prison behind it.
Yeah.
So I would love to have him back. Man, I would love to have Jeff Luno back. And that's really nothing against Dana Brown. He hasn't been here long enough to do anything. It's just Jeff Luno is that – he's that guy.
Yep. No, absolutely. 816 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. Let's take a quick one here to talk about basketball. Let's talk about hoops. Let's talk about Pro Dunk. Let's talk about your goal at your house. Let's talk about the little kids wanting to play, Dad. You got little kids and they want to play basketball, or you want to get them out of the house and off the PlayStation. You want to get them exercising. If they're not getting any exercise outside, they need to. If you're sick of them in the house, get outside and go play basketball. But we can't reach a 10-foot goal, Dad. It's not any fun. We can't play. Well, then you lower the goal, and you lower it now with a drill. It is so unbelievable. Technology is second to none. Used to have to crank it, right? We cranked ours all the time. You want to go up or down. Now there's a drill, and it goes up, it comes down. Big kids can play. Little kids can play. Everybody can dunk. It's just so much fun. It's the only way to do this thing. The goal is second to none. They use the highest quality material in every single aspect of it, and you are going to find that this is the best goal, and you're going to love it. The kids are going to love it. Your wife's going to love it. And you, my friend, are going to have kids that are outside actually exercising as opposed to sitting around the house. You're looking for that goal? There's only one place to go, ProDunk.com, ProDunk.com.
ESPN, 97.5.com, Fighter of the Night, man.
I miss you, Night Man, so bad.
The preeminent NFL draft analyst, the Godfather of Houston Sports Talk. Put them together and you get the trench.
Get in the trench.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776. The Major League Draft is just a couple of weeks away. I just saw a mock draft. I saw a mock draft. First two players.
LSU.
Skeens and Cruz. Mm-hmm. And then the third player is the hitter for Florida. What's his name?
Oh, so no high schoolers in the first three?
Not the first three, no. Well, these guys are so good. All three of them. Well, they led their teams, their respective teams, to the World Series. Yeah, Wyatt Langford, who was unbelievable. You couldn't get him out. Couldn't get him out. He was he's so good. But the first two are Skeens. Skeens to the Pirates and Dylan Cruz to the Nationals. Wyatt Langford to the Detroit Tigers. LSU Brian wants to talk about the College World Series. Hey, Brian.
What's going on, guys?
How you doing, man? Congratulations on your...
Good.
Congratulations on your title.
Yeah,
did you go?
John, that's what I'm going to do. I was in Cozumel all week, and I watched the game off and on when my wife would let me take a peek at it. But, Skeens is a... I believe it. I've heard it from a few people. Skeens is the best pitching prospect maybe ever. I just want to give a shout-out to my Tigers for winning that thing. And also, John, while I was out there in Mexico, I played the Hard Rock. I just want to know if you ever played the Hard Rock there. And, man, it's a great course, beautiful course.
Where is it?
Never played the Hard Rock.
In Cabo? Where is it?
Mexico. So we stayed in Cozumel, but we took the ferry over to the mainland.
Oh, gotcha.
To play the Hard Rock.
I gotcha. No, I never played it. Never played it. It's awesome, huh? Good stuff. Yeah, congratulations. Paul Skeens is probably the top pitching prospect since Ben McDonald. You remember how big Ben McDonald was when he was coming out?
Yeah.
And that's the kind of career that Skeens has had, too. I mean, he is that dominant. As a college pitcher, we'll see if he works out. Ben McDonald had a few good years in the league.
He didn't live up to that. Monster back in the day, though.
He didn't live up to the buildup, but he certainly had a nice career. But he was the best pitching prospect that I can remember coming out of college ever.
Here, the 15 most hyped. Nah, this is 2011, but still. 15 most hype prospects coming in.
Bryce Harper is one.
Yeah, but I'm looking for pitchers. Josh Hamilton was one, certainly. King Griffey Jr., A-Rod, Daryl Strawberry.
Mostly hitters.
Mark Pryor was a big one.
Mark Pryor was big, but not as big as Ben McDonald was.
Ben was, and Steven Strasburg.
Yeah, Strasburg.
Strasburg was really big. Yeah. He's number one on here, but this is an article written in 2011, but Strasburg really was a big-time prospect.
Yep. And look at how that's working out now for him. Signed that huge deal and didn't insure it with Steven Strasburg. Holy crap.
You
what
is
talk it? About $235 million?
Yeah. How and do you cut costs on that?
Oh, my God.
Are you sure they didn't?
Didn't insure it. And they got to pay the whole thing. And the dude may never pitch again. That's just awful, Nationals. And the Nationals are going to get Dylan Cruz, it looks like, who is a phenomenal hitter. Phenomenal hitter. We'll see if it translates to Major League Baseball. 703-780. We got our own problems here, okay?
Yeah, I'm not worried about other
people. We got our own problems.
Oh, what would happen with the Washington Nationals? Who are the most hyped? I just ran across an article from FoxSports.com. The most hyped, the 20 most hyped draft prospects ever. You know, we were talking about this with Wimby, for example.
Yeah.
Would he be the biggest bust of all time if he somehow busted? Who are the now? This is
LeBron.
Now this is Wimby. Let me tell you when this is written. May 25th. So you're right. LeBron is number one.
LeBron's number one,
and I would say that's accurate.
Wemby's got to be up there near the top.
Number two, they've got John Elway.
Okay.
Does that feel right to you?
Yeah, it really does. Okay. He was. He was Mr. All Everything.
Number three is baseball.
Number three is baseball.
It'll make sense. High schooler.
Strawberry?
No. Bryce Harper.
Bryce Harper, yeah.
Bryce Harper was a monster coming out. Number four, Lou Alcindor. I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
But I mean, Kareem was considered, he was Lou Alcindor at the time.
Yep.
He was, I guess, you know, he's considered one of the huge ones. Number five, Andrew Luck. That feels a little high, but he had that generational tag. I'd say Wimby is higher than Andrew Luck.
Yeah, I do too.
Right? Don't you think?
I do.
Or are we just saying that because Luck, we've seen him.
Well, there's more social media now than there was when Andrew Luck came out, too.
Like, there was RG3 and Luck discussions, at least for a while. There's no other discussion other than Wimby.
Yeah. Yeah.
I would also argue that Trevor Lawrence is way up there.
Yep. You could, but I think Wemby's above all of them.
Peyton Manning was six.
Ryan Leaf would be up there, too.
Patrick Ewing, seven.
Yes.
You think so?
Yes.
I feel like he was.
I think Ralph should be ahead of them.
Yeah, I think Ralph should be ahead of him. Yeah, Ralph 100% should be ahead of him in terms of most hype prospects. You're right. Ralph's probably in the top five all time.
Yep.
Eight was Ken Griffey Jr. They had nine, Sidney Crosby. That's a really good one. 10 was A-Rod. 11, Shaq. Yeah, Shaq's a really good one. Really good one. Steven Strasburg, 12. Connor McDavid, 13 from NHL.
Off.
Yeah. Yep. Brittany Griner, 14. Brian Taylor with the Yankees, total bust, 14. Daryl Strawberry, you're right, Straw should be higher.
Yeah.
Straw should be higher. It's probably Zion was 16. Trevor Lawrence, 17. Greg Oden, 18.
Where's Ralph Sampson?
Cam Newton, 19. Brandon Stewart, 20. See, they just don't. They obviously just don't know or don't remember Ralph or
something like that. I remember.
Ralph was 7'4".
Ralph was a total freak show. Ralph Sampson was so big.
Ralph
so
was a
huge.
Total freak show.
Yeah. Yep. But Chaminade hurt him a little bit. There's no question. 827 ESPN, 97.5 and 92.5. 713. David Clyde was huge. Huge pitching prospect. Remember how big that was?
I remember hearing about it. I mean, it's historically known as, what, like 76 or something?
Yeah.
He's historically known as one of the biggest pitching prospects of all time.
Yep. David Clyde was huge. Nice catch there, Jackie. Who was the guy in Sid, Sports Illustrated made up?
That's Sid Bream.
No.
Sid Luckett, Sid Croft or something? No.
The prospect that Sports Illustrated made up. You guys will get it. You guys will hit this one. Sid Finch. Yep.
And it was written by, the writer was George Plimpton. Yeah. This guy was, for those who don't know him historically, you might want to look him up. He went out and tried to play with the Detroit Lions. He wrote a book called Paper Lion. I know my dad bought the book, so when I'd sit and listen to music with my headphones on the family, like the little stereo system, I would listen, and I'd just look at all the different books he had, and Paper Lion was one of them. But, yeah, and then he wrote back when people used to still get fooled on April Fools, he wrote an article about that guy named Sid Finch, and it was actually a picture of him. Like, do you know that? It was George Plimpton's long, wiry body, and you couldn't – and it was always pictures from behind. You never saw his face. And supposedly he had created some level of torque on his pitches that allowed him to throw 110 miles an hour or something like that. And there was this, he lived on an island. It was some kind of crazy story, and everyone was talking about it. Sid Finch and Like if it was 24, now we're a much more believing society back then.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah.
Now it's so cynical where everything is that's staged. I'll watch somebody get hit in the face by a hammer or something. I mean, it's kind of hyperbole, but kind of not. And then you'll have people underneath, that's staged. Like this was not staged. How, oh my gosh. How cynical are we? No one gets fooled on April Fools anymore. Who gets fooled on April Fools?
Frankie fooled us. She had an accident or something, but that's so believable that it's, you know, that absolutely could happen every day. Frankie having a car accident. 827 ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. How about a little tequila to go?
How about Maestro Nobel? How about 11 generations of tequila makers? You know something's really good when you have a recipe or recipes, in this case, that have been in a family for that many years, and you have that many generations that have worked on the same product, because they really care about the craftsmanship. They care about the end result and the quality. It's a family thing, and it's very, very important that it comes out perfectly every single time, and they've done that. It's from Tequila Mexico, and this is one of the bigger tequilas in Mexico, as a matter of fact, and it's something that is very highly regarded in Mexico and very highly regarded in the States. Talked to a beverage director the other day who told me he absolutely loved their añejo, and that was in the reposada. He wants to create some cocktails with that, and that's something that you could do as well. You can create cocktails with those. You can sip. You can do it room temperature. You can have it with an ice cube. You can do it refrigerated. Of course, most people who are big tequila aficionados, they're going to drink it room temperature because you get all the flavors and all the taste and the complete flavor profile. And there are a lot of people who are big, you know, fans of tequila that swear by tequila being the, when you get a really good one like Maestro Nobel, this is the one that is going to give you the most complex profile. And I think you're going to really enjoy Maestro Nobel, whether you're sipping, having a margarita, or having your cocktails. Make sure that you're carrying a bottle of Maestro Nobel on your shelf, because this is a go-to tequila. It's Maestro Nobel.
ESPN 97.5.com. Get in the race.
You'll find this is the toughest course you've ever raced, and you'll need every ounce of experience and skills.
Let's get back to the wrench with these two tools. It's John and Lance from the Veritex Community Bank Studios on ESPN 97.5.
Rude, but whatever.
He has gotten rude, hasn't he?
Yeah, I think so.
Funny guy.
Funny how?
Yeah. You make like a clown? You trying to make us laugh like a clown? Spencer? 713-780-3776, 713-780-3776. A lot of Mason, interaction. The most interactive show in radio.
Yeah, easily. And my son Mason invented Let Them Cook.
Yep.
He thinks we ought to have an in-person Let Them Cook, where people cook in person. They get their hottest takes, and they have to sell their takes, and then we give away barbecue or something. I'm like, that's not bad. It's decent. We'd like to just create something where we could just get food up here. You know, where somebody would just bring it to us.
Yeah,
cater to
if
us.
Somebody just wants to bring us food, you're more than welcome to do that at any time.
He claimed he called in. Is our number 713-780-3776?
3776.
Yeah, he claimed he called and no one answered. I don't think that's unless you went to the bathroom.
He's full of crap.
I told him to call again.
He's full of crap. 713-780-3776, Mason. Call in and cook, and we'll destroy all your hopes and dreams. Julian wants to talk on the radio. Hey, Julian, how are you?
I'm good, man. Good morning, gentlemen. Hey, listen, what about Lynn Bias? I know he never played, but he was very, very hyped up. Unfortunately, he met a demise. And then also, I got another one, Hideki Arubu. Arubu, however you say it, but he was with the Yankees and he stank.
Yeah.
Have a good day, gentlemen.
Noma was pretty big, too. I would say Yao Ming also was up there, too. But in terms of, but Yao, because he's kind of freakish.
Yeah, but there were doubts about Yao.
Yeah, he was just kind of freakish size. Yeah, that's different. I don't think Lynn Bias is considered a great player. I don't know that I put him in the category of the ones we're talking about right now. in terms of all-time most hyped prospects. Like, to me, for sure, for basketball, it's LeBron, Wembanyama, Alcindor, and Ralph Sampson.
Yeah.
Those are the four most hyped that I can remember. Sidney Crosby.
Ewing was up
in
there,
hockey,
though.
And I think, was Wayne Gretzky pre... Was he great one before he even came in?
I don't know. This kid Bedard now, this year.
Y'all know he's got tremendous hype on him. Okay, so here's Mason. My son Mason is on hold. He's got to go do some babysitting later, so he wanted to call. Now, Mason, I'm going to let you... We're going to go back and forth with you. We're not going to let you cook necessarily, but you can cook now if you want to.
Yeah,
you
can cook.
Well, he can cook, but we have to have some interaction, too. He wants to have some interaction. So, yeah, Mike Holovac was the GM for the for the Oilers. That was really, really good. Thanks, Jeff. Mason, tell John and tell RJ. RJ's a big basketball fan as well. And I put this on Twitter. It's gotten a lot of attention on Twitter. Some people agree with you. Tell people what your belief is from a basketball standpoint.
I don't get it. It's not even a hot take. I just think I could beat like any basketball player that's under like 6'5" and like a one-on-one game from the 50s to like the 65. Because they weren't that good.
Up to 1965 is kind of your cutoff. And you could beat
any plumbers.
Okay. So they're plumbers. So up any basketball players from the 50s, and we're talking about NBA players.
NBA
guys.
Players.
Yeah. NBA players.
Oscar Robertson. Wait a minute.
Like
Oscar Robertson you could beat.
Yeah.
Oh, you don't believe that.
You don't.
Mason, you don't believe that.
Mason,
hold on. What?
Oscar Robertson is one of the greatest players in NBA history.
Mason, do you actually believe you could beat Oscar Robertson?
How tall is Oscar Robertson?
Oscar Robertson, I mean, he was pretty tall. Oscar Robertson was... Do you want to say that you could beat some? I'll let you back out of this a little bit. I mean, he was 6'5", Mason.
You said 6'5".
Anybody under like 6'4", because I'm what, 6'3"?
No, you're about 6'2", and you weigh like 160. Oscar weighs 205. So give us who you... Okay, so you couldn't beat everybody. You already know that. You're not saying that.
Is Oscar Robertson dead because he could beat you right now?
He's 84.
No, Oscar Robertson couldn't beat me.
Oscar Robertson at 84 could beat you right now.
Oscar Robertson cannot beat me at 84.
No. Oscar Robertson would destroy you right now. That's how good Oscar Robertson is.
I'm not losing a wheelchair basketball. He's old.
Okay. He was in the NBA. He's an NBA Hall of Famer. You can't even make your high school basketball team.
He's on it.
I'm beating Oscar Robertson.
Yeah, you can't.
Hold on. On a serious note, could you beat Bob Cousy in his prime?
Yes. Bob Cousy in his prime is going to get cooked. He dribbles with his palm. He dribbles weird.
So you could beat him in what, a one-on-one? Or you said that team basketball is actually where you're stronger.
Yeah.
Do you think the Celtics from the 50s and 60s would have been better with you than with Bob Cousy? Be honest.
Yes, because I'd be running like the Warriors offense. I'd be running around, catching and shooting everywhere.
So
I don't need to dribble. Those dribble rules that you said, I don't need those. I don't dribble. I'm a shooter.
Okay, so you believe that you could score, though, on NBA players from the 50s. Why do you believe that?
Oh, yeah. Because I'll be one of the greatest shooters of all time if I went to the 50s. I'd be the GOAT.
He's not joking. John, this is not him just saying. Mason, are you just saying this for effect, or do you actually believe it?
I actually believe it.
He's one of the greatest shooters of all time.
You have raised delusional children.
No, I'm telling you.
Yeah.
Mason believes, and Mason's a pretty good shooter when he's out like in a driveway shooting over Snacks, who's about 5'3".
Mm-hmm.
How are you going to get
And at the YMCA.
How are you going to shoot? How are you going to get a basket against somebody from the 50s? Do you really believe were no good?
No, this is what I do. I go to the Celtics and I teach them like the Warriors offense. We just kind of run around and get open shots. I'm going to run around, get a bunch of screens from like Bill Russell, and then shoot open threes.
So
open twos.
You think it would have been fairly easy for you to play in the 50s?
Hmm.
Yes, I would have been one of the best players of all time. I would have been Curry's inspiration.
He wouldn't have been Curry's inspiration. Mason, I don't know how much of this you actually believe.
No, he can't believe any of this.
He believes a lot of
it,
John.
Yes, I can't.
No.
Bob Cousy's a bum.
Bob Cousy's a bum. Mason, why do you think players from the 50s couldn't play? He actually does believe this stuff, John.
Because he's...
Why do you think players...
Plumbers. Oh, my gosh. Don't you think you should...
Is Sebastian awake now?
Honestly, this is... This is
wake his ass up because Sebastian believes it too.
No, Sebastian.
Sebastian, and my kids have studied basketball history.
You've raised two of the dumbest kids ever.
You know how this came up,
Mason. Mason, you're ridiculous. You couldn't last 2 minutes in the NBA. They would laugh you off the court. They would laugh you off the court.
What'd you say, Mason?
Me and Will Chamberlain will be averaging 50 minutes a game.
So you would be able to shoot. So you think you could get your shot off?
Yes. I could get like 30 shots off.
Why? Why do you think you could get your shot off? Hold on. Here's a question.
No.
Who would you guard? You're slow laterally. Who would you guard from the 50s?
You're a lumbering white kid that can't play.
Well, they were all white guys. You can't use that in the 50s.
Right. But you can't play, I said. Okay.
Is that accurate? Hold on.
Put
Sebastian on the phone, Mason. Put him on.
No. This is the dumbest segment we've ever done.
You got to hear what
this
Sebastian
says. This is the dumbest
says.
Segment we've ever
hold
done.
Hold on. I told you. Put Sebastian on. Sebastian, are you on?
Yeah.
You believe that Mason could beat NBA players in the 50s?
In the 50s?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
Why do you believe that?
No, you're right.
What he's going to... Think about his dribble practices and what are they going to think? They might ban him from the NBA once they see his dribbling.
Why? Like, because it's always a carry?
They don't even have that concept in their brain yet to dribble that much.
You mean that kind of dribbling?
They're going to fall for every single move he does. He's just going to ISO every play, and he's either going to get fouled. He's gonna quit the NBA, or he's gonna cross everybody up.
Your kids are
ridiculous. And he's not even great.
You have to listen to this every day.
Oh yeah.
Is this the stupid stuff you have to listen to every day?
That's not stupid.
It's the worst take I've ever heard. Hang up on these two.
What?
Hang up. This is the worst segment we've ever done.
And Sebastian was being honest. He has no reason to try to pump it up for Mason. He honestly believes they wouldn't be able to handle crossovers. They've never seen crossovers, so they couldn't possibly adjust. These are people who are going to be – Bob Cousy was 6'1", 175. He's 15 pounds bigger than Mason.
He would destroy – I mean, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
Fundamentally – okay, yes, it is. Yes, it is a belief that – now, I've also made Sebastian – I said we could get a dog. This is like 3 years ago. I got a video. I said, if you can do 3 pull-ups, I'll get you a dog. He goes, yes. So we went to a park because I knew he wouldn't be able to do a pull-up.
Yeah.
And in his brain, he thought, this is going to be so easy. I said, how many do you think you can do? He goes, at least 10, 12. Mm. He did 0. In their heads, kids believe like – Mason believes it started off with, you think you could get a shot off against a...
I really believe Oscar Robertson could beat him right now. He's 84 years old.
Mason would beat Oscar right now.
I'm not sure.
Mason can shoot. He would beat Oscar. He's quick enough to do that against somebody in their 20s or 30s who is... This is just goes to show you the level of disrespect young player. You have to understand, John, people honestly believe, there are fans right now who honestly believe that Michael Jordan played against literally nobody. And that's the 80s. My kids don't believe that. That's why Mason cut it off at 65 for some reason. But any players up until about 65, Mason could beat some of the players. He would probably admit he couldn't beat Oscar Robertson.
He can't beat any of these guys. 0 of them.
I agree.
Zero.
Not only could he not beat them, I think he would score. If he played Bob Cousy 1-on-1 to 15, I think Mason might get one basket.
Maybe.
He might get a step back. He might score. But if it's make it, take it, Bob Cousy's going to score every time. Mason can't guard.
No.
And this makes me – now you understand, John. And I'm not even – you see how frustrated you got?
Yeah.
The idea that they're so disrespectful of players from the past, and he believes everything that he says – he believes absolutely.
You're not a shooter, Mason. You're a babysitter.
And Mason said he's not winning. Oscar Robertson is in a wheelchair right now. He's not
winning.
He
still beat you. In a wheelchair, he'd beat you.
Yeah.
Okay.
They have no respect. Get Justin in
this
here.
This is what happens. No, we got to take a break. Okay. It's 8:47.
They have no respect. And I didn't raise them that way.
No, yeah, you did.
No,
disrespectful
kids. I swear
kids.
To God, I did not raise my kids. I made them study NBA history. They have respect for the 80s. For some reason, once it's black and white, they think, total bum. Okay. You can't possibly play.
Well, listen, if Oscar Robertson went to QC Kinetics for a week, he would beat Mason. Okay? That's what would happen.
Mason keeps... I'm cooking. Okay. I have a better skill level than those guys.
It's the worst.
He believes it.
You're a babysitter.
Listen, if I need to get Oscar Robertson to QC Kinetics and get him back to where he needs to be, even at age 84, so we get rid of this joint pain just so he can beat my son in driveway basketball, I'll do it. QC Kinetics is that important. They worked on my wife five different treatments for her because she had a very severe knee issue, and it is now to the point where she is training for the Berlin Marathon. I'm booking non-refundable tickets right now. That's how confident I am that QC Kinetics has done their job with my wife and her knee issue. And they can do the same thing with you. Whether it's shoulder, it's your hip, it's your back, wherever your joint pain is, QC Kinetics, when you're dealing with arthritis, they can get in there. They take the body's healing power. They concentrate it. They put it back into the joint. What you're going to experience is a reduction in pain that is going to be similar to what you're getting with, you know, your steroid shots and surgeries and pain medicine. Only this is something that's going to last. This is not temporary, and it's not something that's going to keep you down. And you're not going to have pain medicine to reduce that chronic pain. You can do it naturally because the body restores and regenerates damaged tissue. It's my good friends over at QC Kinetics. Go to QCKinetics.com.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You do like me.
I just don't like you no more.
You do like me.
I don't.
Welcome back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Summer can be a little slow in the world of sports, so to speed things up a little bit, this is the Meth segment with John and Lance.
8:52, ESPN 97.5. Okay, after that horrible segment, let's try to move on, and let's get some actual decent.
They love this cooking. Segment. Twitch did, but I they love it because it's so outlandish.
It's stupid.
I'm sure.
No,
this is what I deal with on a regular basis.
No, this is your life.
Mason believes that Kyrie should be with the, like, he doesn't understand team building. He is the one that I have the most trouble with. He's a conspiracy theorist of basketball. And it's Sebastian for him to buy into that too. Snacks knows better, and he actually believes that Mason's quote unquote dribble package would be too much for NBA players. I've never even heard that term, dribble package.
Mm-hmm.
RJ, have you ever heard the term dribble package?
What? He has a dribble package?
I've never heard.
Really?
That feels like a scouting term I need to know.
Yeah, I mean, dribble package, basically who you emulate your dribbling game after, or, you know, he has the bag of blank, just new lingo, guys.
That's all. I mean, I can't talk about this anymore. It's so ridiculous. Let's get Jim in here to cook. Let's find out what Jim's cooking today. Hey, Jim.
Hey! First of all, keep those delusional kids off the radio. Lance, you need to get home. Make sure they're not eating any Tide Pods, because that is exactly how they sound. Take them to any black public school and have them taste a big piece of humble pie. Because obviously they're playing at private schools. Secondly, you want my job? You want Jim Crane out of Houston? I am Houston. I put Houston on the map. Before Jim Crane, Houston was nothing. I made Houston. If it wasn't for me, the Astros would be nothing. If I wanted to, I could push Craig Abbott down a hill and take over the city. Watch out, because Jim Crane is going political. 2024, boom!
Let me tell you, that I didn't think that was Jim Crane. I thought that was Jimmy Hart, Mouth of the South.
Yeah, that sounded more
I thought I was listening to Jimmy Hart, Mouth of the South. That's who I thought I was hearing. Jim Crane is not going to push anyone down hills. We're not. He's not going to do that. He's not saying Mason doesn't play at a private school. He does play at a magnet school. It's kind of the same. Not really the best athletes going there. He mostly just wins on driveways and pickup games at the Y. But that is definitely not Jim Crane. Jim Crane would never push someone down
the
hill.
How many points did Mason score last season for his high school?
Like 16, 18.
For the whole season?
Yeah, I think. 22. Not a lot. I don't know how many games they have. They're like, it's more like a club team. They don't really, I don't even know.
And he doesn't even get in. He sits on the bench.
So like one of the guys on Twitch, his daughter goes to the same school as Mason. He knows they don't really have, like, it's a good academic school, which is, you know, Mason, I'm not sure how Mason's there.
Okay.
I'm being honest. Mason is going to have to learn to be, my best hope on Mason is he's got great personality. He's delusional. But he's getting pretty good at video games at NBA 2K. I need him to make money.
Yeah.
Like, he's got to get on some kind of league. He needs to get good enough. I either have to get him off of video games or push him all in. Like,
yeah.
I'm at that point now where I have to go all in and get him into some kind of e-gaming league where he can start making some money, or I'm going to have to get him completely off and try to save his opportunities for when he gets older.
How about he works? Maybe he could be a professional babysitter.
No, I told him the ironic thing is I said, you know, Aqueduct Plumbing Company is going to need help.
Yes.
They're busy.
Hey, we need.
And you are, not only are, and you're actually one of the plumbers.
The world needs ditch diggers, too.
You're the plumber, Mason.
Yep.
You're actually the plumber.
You talk about the plumbers.
Bob Cousy's not the plumber.
If you can't find the plumber, you're it.
And here's the argument I always make with my kids. Mason, they hate this. If LeBron played in the 50s, you got to understand that people are much bigger now. They're taller. They weigh more. Their body mass is more. Their muscle
better
mass
nutrition,
is more.
Better
nutrition.
They were smoking cigarettes during halftime of those games.
So LeBron back then is probably like 215, and he's probably 6'5". He's still going to be, you know. And your training, you came up differently. You may not have had basketball until a certain age or whatever. Same way that if you had, and I'm just using Bob Cousy. If Bob Cousy would probably be more like Steve Nash now. Bob Cousy would have come up at an age where he might have started basketball earlier. He would have been a little bit bigger. He was 6'2", 175. Or 6'1", 175. He'd probably be 6'2", 185 is what he would be four decades later.
Skilled.
And his skill level would be even higher. His shooting would be much better.
He'd be Steve Nash today.
Well, look at Victor Wembanyama and look at Ralph Sampson. If you put a ball in a kid's hands and you teach them to shoot early on, their muscle memory is different.
Yeah, absolutely. You know? Yes. And Koulibaly and a bunch of guys.
Look at golf. Look at Jack Nicklaus versus Rory McIlroy, right? Rory McIlroy can drive 380.
Yeah.
Technology matters. Training matters.
Yes.
Knowledge matters.
Well, but
as you get older. So if you pull them back in time, you're a different player. You're not the same player if you go back in time. And the players who move forward in time have advantages that those players have.
Yeah.
So if we're doing this theoretical discussion about generations and you're multiple decades apart, like Babe Ruth. Yeah, Babe Ruth swung a big heavy bat. I don't think Babe Ruth could hit
today's
pitching.
You know what Bobby Jones said about Jack Nicklaus? He plays a game I am not familiar with. Every age gets bigger, better, stronger, faster.
Yes.
Every age.
Well, and that's why.
But Bobby Jones was the most unbelievable golfer of his
time.
But
now that's the argument. That's the argument that LeBron fans will use against Jordan is, yeah, that's right, John. Every age. And that's why Jordan, and you look at some of the players, and I'll admit, some of the bigs are not going to be as athletic that
Jordan
played
against.
There's
not that much difference, though, in Jordan's era to this era.
Well, Jordan, the player, what you look at is, no, there's not as much, there's not as much difference as people act. The game's played differently. More three-point shots.
Right.
The mid-range jumper's not going to be as good. There are much better distance shooters now than there were then because
no one worked on it.
They didn't, from a math standpoint, teams didn't believe in three-point shots.
Jim Crane speaks like he's not interested in living. That was a fake Jim Crane. Thank you, Art.
Yes,
I don't
that
believe
was
that
fake.
Was. I've heard Jim Crane speak before, and that didn't sound like him to me. All right, quick break here, just top of the hour, a minute. We'll be right back. You guys that are on hold, don't you go anywhere. You're listening to ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. I'm an idea man, Chuck.
This is Bill.
idea to eliminate garbage. Edible paper.